Hello and welcome to Chips of Chorlton's Extra Scraps. So this is what's usable from the extra bits that I didn't put into the original podcast. Mike came round for about 2.5 hours a couple of Sundays ago, and it was great. We drank a load of beer, and by the end of it, it all kind of gets a little bit drunk. So I've just had to jump straight to the questions that you guys sent in for him. So unfortunately, the chip review didn't survive again. I'm sorry. One day we will review the beagle for you. Just going to do a bit of a plug for the podcast. Please like and subscribe on your podcast provider, and please follow us at Chips of Chorlton on both Twitter and Instagram. Without further ado, this is the Extra Scraps from a Mike Fenart podcast.
What kind of stupid fucking question's that?
I tweeted out and I got a load of questions back. The first one was from Sugar Horse. A favourite Oceanside show?
Probably one of the Roadhouse gigs that we did in 2008 or something like that. Yeah. 10th anniversary, we did 3 gigs and we played an album per night. And I think we were properly bricking it. It's only the fucking Roadhouse. We played there a million times, but we had to learn every song that we'd ever done. And our brains weren't sort of big enough to sort of carry every song that we'd ever done. So it was all very much on the hop. And the second night was absolutely glorious. We had Biffy supporting us as a surprise.
What? Wow. Fuck me.
Yeah.
They were only acoustic. But it was still Biffy motherfucking Clyro supporting us. And that second album, Oceanside album, is kind of like our bid for stadium rock. So it kind of, everybody was really up for it. And I think it was great.
Just brilliant. To the side of that as well, favourite Biffy show?
I'm going to have to say Glastonbury. Oh no, but that was 2017. There was on a similar tip. 2014, we did 3 nights at Glasgow Barrowlands where the first night was Black and Sky and Puzzle. The second night was Vertigo, Bliss and Only Revolutions. The third night was Infinity Land and Opposites. And the second night, we did a lot of Vertigo, Bliss and Only Revolutions. And I fucking, you know, just obsessed with those records, like especially Vertigo. It was just magical. And the thing is, like, you had all these old school Biffy fans coming out of the woodwork to be at these gigs, and they knew absolutely every fucking tiny nano note of every song, and were singing back everything. Yep. And so you felt like these songs were being exhumed and being brought back from the dead just for one night only. They were going to just fucking play these tunes. And this thick fucking sense of celebration was really palpable. And then I jumped into the audience at the end because we did Now the Action's is on Fire, and couldn't get out of the audience because they didn't recognise me as being somebody in the band.
Did you have a guitar on you?
No, it was at the end, you just jump in the audience, just crowd surfing, screaming, Burn the Action Now, having the time of my fucking absolute life.
And you hadn't worn your pass.
No, I didn't.
No, you'd worn a shirt. That
I'd
was
worn
the thing.
A shirt. That's exactly what it was. And there's literal video footage of me fucking going to security, going, I'm in the fucking band. Like,
yeah,
like,
right, mate.
And fully exactly, like, fucking get down, mate, get down. So, and then you see the production manager come on stage and tap the fucking guy, going, he's all right, let him up. But yeah, I never lived that down. to this day, people are like, in the band, Mike, aye, aye, right.
Okay, so we're just going to go through the rest of the questions. Ask Mike when he is going to be on That Pedal Show.
My interest in pedals is I just want to see people make weird noises with pedals. I don't necessarily want to hear loads of chat about it. I know Dan Steinhardt really well. He's lovely. He really helps me out with an awful lot of problems, of which I have many, because I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know how to work anything. I use a lot of his gear. And he keeps telling me that he wants me on and never fucking has me on. Your guess is as good as mine.
Right, okay. Okay, so Slug, Our friends, good friends, Slug.
Band label mates.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so they played Robin's wedding
no
as well.
Way.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they were wedding band.
As did Barry from Come the Futureheads.
They did, and it was fucking amazing.
It was They did Led Zepp a whole lot of love.
Barry Hyde from Futureheads did the solo.
It was crazy.
It was
and they did Hounds of Love, and It was the first time that Barry had sung it in about 5 years, I think, with the full band. And just the people in the crowd.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this.
Yeah, it was so the people it was in the crowd. Like, I just remember Matt and Amy, Matt Durant, our friend, previous guest of the podcast, just turning around and going, my indie dreams have just come alive. He had no idea that this was ever going to happen. Like, things... Yeah, it's just crazy.
It was good.
So good. Like he when he like said that he'd be up for being the wedding band, basically I just sent a list of songs that I'd like him to play, and he did them all.
Oh wow,
it was so good.
Even Drake
with guest Duncan doing Hotline Bling.
There's a lot of words in Hotline Bling, and I'm quite surprised that I remembered them all. I mean, we were going to do it on Six Music as well, and I'm kind of glad we didn't, because I don't want to see that look in Riley's face. I just don't want to see that.
Yeah, but Slug asked, I suppose we might have answered the question before, who else do you listen to who is despicable?
Yeah, that's going back to Phil Anselmo, isn't it? Pantera.
Yeah.
I think, on a separate note though, I love Slug. I think they're fucking amazing.
They're great.
I knew of them because of Field Music. I'm a big Field Music fan, and when they came about, me and Simon from Biffy. Much of our relationship is emailing each other fucking weird music, like, oh, you like this, you know. And Slug was one of those things where, like, oh, you're gonna fucking really get on with this. So it's really nice that, like, thanks. I think that it's like, with the advent of social media, having a relationship with people that you don't know, but I don't know if he likes what I do, but we get on in that respect. I fucking really enjoy what they do, you know. Similarly, I've a Twitter relationship with Mogwai at the moment, but I have every fucking suspicion that they think what I do is absolute pish. But I love interacting with Mogwai. It's great.
So good. Doug played Eagle Inn, didn't he, recently? Was that right? Did you go
they
and
did.
See
I was 3 months that
ago.
Day. I couldn't
3 months
it.
Ago, yeah. Sorry. I sort of think about it.
And that was the same day, I believe, that they did a Riley session.
Yeah. Yes.
So they showed up like fucking like 10 minutes later and threw the game. I know Damo because he plays for a band called, well, he plays for all the fucking bands.
Yeah.
But he plays for Spratly's Japs. I don't know if you know Spratly's Japs.
No.
But he did play for, is it Electric Soft Parade?
Yeah, never mind them. Spratly Japs.
I still remember the first time we saw him was when he was drumming for Field Music at Warehouse.
Yeah, never mind them either. There's a band called Spratly Japs who did an album called Pony, which you'll find on Bandcamp, and it's one of the greatest records ever made. No cunt's ever heard it.
Wow.
You can thank me later. Right. Trust me. Okay. Spratly Japs.
Damo's legacy.
Love it. He's an absolute trooper, Damo.
Yeah, he is. Shout out to Damo.
I told you about the night before the Tommy Robinson episode, I performed my favourite song of all time, which is a Cardiac song. Performed it with Spratly Japs, and Damo was playing drums.
He's good.
He is good.
He knows his shit.
What gig was this? What was going on? What was the setup?
Can't I explain? It's just hard to explain. You know this band Cardiacs? You know Cardiacs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard Dutch Uncles?
Yeah. No, well, that was it. To me, it's like anything that I hear that is like got a real twisted ear for harmony, I'm like, you must know about Cardiacs. So Spratly's Japs was Tim Smith. He basically made a record that he wanted to be like, oh, I'll make a record that sounds a bit like the Breeders or something like that. And he made a record that sounds exactly like Cardiacs, but with a girl singing. Okay. But like in a more sort of poppy, grungy, crusty kind of sphere, really sort of like slapdash, but it sounds like there's no mistake in his writing.
It's him.
There's no two ways about it. And so this record, nobody bought it. That was in 1999. And then, so Joe Spratly, the band is named after her, obviously, years later, basically decided that band never did a concert ever when they existed because they weren't a band. The picture on the inside of the CD is a lot of random cunts that have not appeared on the record.
Okay.
The record is Tim and his girlfriend Joe.
Yeah.
And so Joe basically was like, I'm going to get a band together and we're going to play those songs. And I was like, fuck off. You won't be able to do... Nobody will be able to do that without a backing track, without loads of fucking trickery and bullshit. Because Cardiacs, it was all trickery by the end.
Yeah.
And he did. I went to see them do their first gig in Brighton, and I witnessed five young lads with Joe just play the most impossible fucking incredible music. I was like, that's happening. I can see exactly who's doing what. This doesn't mean anything unless you know this record, but if you know Cardiacs, it's along the same lines.
Mm. Yeah.
I've quite an affiliation with that band, not because I've necessarily worked with them, but I've been spending time with them just this weekend. When they call, I'll drop anything to do anything for them, because they're just, they're beyond special to me.
As you're speaking about them, I've just got R.E.S. going around in my head. It's like
was it the fella from Cardiacs who was guesting on Steve Davis's radio show?
That's Carver's Tarabi.
Yeah.
But they played Dutch Uncles as well, which at the time was like
on Cambridge FM.
That's amazing.
It's like
Fanboy
Dream.
You know, you've reached it. Well, they've reached it on Cambridge FM.
They've started a new. Because I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go see them actually DJ at a club or anything like that. They're on at Electric in Charlton a few years back.
Oh yeah, we've seen DJ Thunder Muscle a couple of times.
Best night I've ever had in Charlton. Because you know, all night I was just going to. All right, here's a fucking story for you.
We're not going around to Christian Bale yet.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, right. These are all name droppy, but this is cool. Right, so I know Carvis really, really well. And he's like, oh, I'm DJing with Steve Davis. You know, this is the thing that we do now. So come up. It's in Charlton. I know you live there. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be great. I can't wait. And I'm taking Steve DeRose with me, Steve out of Oceanside, who's a fucking mad snooker fan. And DeRose is on to me going, can we get Steve Davis to fucking, like, sign something? Or can I get a photo with Steve Davis? I was like, Carvis, do you think you can make this happen? He was like, it won't be a problem. So we get there. Steve Davis pulls out his fucking vinyl copy of Everyone Into Position and asks Steve DeRose to sign it for him. DeRose nearly fucking bursts into flames. He's like, oh, what a moment, man. This is amazing. Because DeRose loves the snooker. Yeah. Like, all I remember of him
is... That's no surprise, I don't think, from Steve Davis. Like, I could imagine him liking that.
Oh, he's a mad fan. And he played Homage to a Shame that night and the whole dance floor just fucking died. Like, woofed.
Yep.
And he DJ'd when... with Crow's Nest, wasn't he? He was like,
We've seen him DJ a few times.
He played some mad Margate Steve Rice shit. It was great.
That night he introduced me to Magma and to The Necks and all kinds of fucking incredible music and like things that are really, really left field but are perfectly palatable on a dance floor and things. I don't fucking dance, but I was just like, this is just really inspiring. A lot of the last album that I did,
it's always good with Steve Davis as well, because you can name drop him in front of your dad.
Yeah,
he's someone that he knows. Anyone else is
also, when we played at Dreamland with Everything
Margate,
for the Margate Festival, and he was DJing afterwards in that pub. And he just dropped the most bizarrest George Clinton song, Do Fries Go With That Shake? Mm. And I just remember, like, it was in my head for fucking weeks.
Yeah.
And then it was only because of doing the radio show, I was like, I have to find that song. I have to tell people that fucking Steve Reich. Is it Steve Reich? That fucking Steve Davis. Steve Reich.
To me, it felt like a real movement, though. That night, it was, you know, it was rammed. It was one in, one out to get into Electric.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure, a lot of people just wanted to get the picture taken with Steve Davis, but a lot of people, it was just like, this guy is bringing fucking weird music to the masses, man, you know. And it's like, to me, it felt like he really should just have, he should have a Six Music spot.
Mm.
He's got the knowledge. Do you know the band Magma? I don't consider myself any kind of prog aficionado, but like Magma seem to be the exception to the rule. I don't get off on Genesis or Yes or anything like that. It's not for me. But there's something about what Magma do that is so theirs and that is so... But anyway, Magma is Steve Davis's favourite band. And in the 80s, at the height of his success, when he had all the money coming out of his ass, he decided to act promoter and paid for Magma to do a fucking a residency at some place in London just because he liked them and there was no other way of seeing them. He's all about the music. You want the Tim Booth story, right?
No, we've got a few more questions.
No.
This is the name of the game, right?
I'm pissed as fuck.
Yes, Mike.
Say that it's still happening.
Geeky questions we got is, what chord sequence riff are you most proud of?
That's an easy one to answer because they're all relatively boring except for... There's a song I did called Immortal Soldiers, which is a really big sort of cardiac homage. And that is one that I wrote the first day that I got an Omnicord. And the Omnicord just gives you... It takes you completely outside the box and makes you listen to chord sequences that you would never come up with, in my opinion, in under any other circumstances. And it's a piece of shit 70s Japanese toy. Mm-hmm. But I love it. I don't know if I'll get any more songs out of it. I got a lot of bits for the last album, but I'm very aware that when you find a new technique, you think, oh, this is it now. You know, I can do this every song, and it doesn't repay you the same way.
Yeah. This is a question from Ash and That. Did you end up murdering that tour manager?
It was important for me to realise why I'm in this. And it's just for the fucking grin. That's all. But I will say, I expect that in 10 years' time, I'll book him again for a laugh. Because I'll still be talking about him. But that's what happened on the
And you are that sure? And you are that sure that he'll still be doing that?
He will. Like, this last run, I booked what's it called? Tunbridge Wells Forum, which is a converted toilet, right? When Oceanside played there in 2002, like, oh God, this place is fucking shit. But you talk about it forever, and it's like, oh, remember that time we played a converted toilet and nobody showed up? Oh, fuck that. And then there was another place, the Hull of Delphi, do you know that one?
We've not played there, but
have we not?
It's somebody's living room. It's a room as big as this that we're in now.
Yeah,
and you know, there wasn't GPS in them days, but you're following the map and you're like, well, we're here. You're on a fucking council estate. You're like, oh, it's that house. It's somebody's house. It's just says Hull of Delphi outside. And so you pull up and you load your gear into somebody's living room. They've basically knocked through and that's you. And you're like, fucking, what are we doing here? This is shit. This is bullshit. This is fucking stupid. But you talk about it for 20 years and then book it again for a laugh.
I still feel like we'll be talking about Southampton Joiners for a long
strip. Yeah.
Just that weird L-shaped room.
It's like playing a gig on a step.
It's not their fault, is it?
Yeah. And they always oversell it. That's one of the only times Oceanside can say they sold a gig.
But it's always an oversold gig, and that's all right. You go back to an oversold gig.
Yeah. So the one that we want to focus a bit of time on is from Sugar Horse,
who are an amazing band, by the way. Shout out. Their EP, I think, is it called Drugs or something? I can't fucking... Drudge is an incredible EP by Sugar Horse.
Yes. So they were saying, get him to tell the Christian Bale / Tim Booth story.
Okay, this isn't my story to tell, but it is true, I can imagine. Tim Booth, singer out of James, play guitar for James. That's a really long story, another time. Tim Booth was in one of the Batman films.
Oh, fuck, he was as well.
One of the recent ones.
I don't know. I've not seen any of the Batman films.
Because Michael Keaton.
Fuck, he was.
That's recent in my book.
So apparently.
Do we know what part he played?
No. I've not seen it. Tim Booth was sat getting his makeup done, and fucking Christian Bale came in full Batman regalia. Right, and now his method is fuck, innit? We've all heard him. Oh yeah, good for you. It's ruined now. You know he's fucking in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Are you Tim Booth of the rock band James?" And Tim Booth's like, "Hi, nice to meet you." You know. And he's like, "I'm a very big fan of the record label. It got me through some really bad times." But he's Batman. He's fucking Batman saying that he's a big fan of Blade, which is a good record, to be fair.
So that's the thing. Was it Christian Bale or was it Batman?
It was Batman.
Batman's a fan. Christian Bale can't stand it.
Tell you a James story.
James, please.
I played guitar for James for one gig. And they'd basically fired the guitar player for reasons I'm not too sure about. I think just some, you know, some argy-bargy. But they were in the middle of loads of gigs. They got their old guitar player back, the guy who'd replaced him in the first fucking place about 20 years ago. But he couldn't do this particular gig. And it was a gig, 13,000 people, headlining festival, Bingley Live. And they were like, yeah, can you do it? I was like, yeah, sure. But I was like, what about rehearsals? No, no rehearsals whatsoever. yeah.
What? No, you just show up.
Yeah, so...
we'll give like, you the codes.
So I thought, you know, it'd be all right. You know, I listened to the stuff. They sent me about 35 tunes, and I was like, well, look, you're not going to play all these tunes, so why don't you just tell me what you're going to do?
What's
and they're
the
like...
set list?
Yeah, they're like, no, we don't do that. We just decide on the night. So I was like, right, yep, cool. So I learnt all these tunes. They wouldn't give me the set list. And then, I'm drunk. I get there on the morning of this festival, and the idea is that we're going to do a sound check and blast through this 90-minute set.
In the sound check?
In the sound check, which is about 10 a.m. in Bingley, right? But the drummer and one of the guitar players doesn't show up. They have like Saul, who plays guitar and violin, does various things.
Yeah.
They weren't there. So I'm playing with the drum tech, who has it, as it happens, is a big Ocean Size fan. So he's absolutely made up that he's jamming with me while I'm absolutely shitting myself. That was it. So also, this is the weekend after I've done Arctangent Festival with my band and British Theatre, which is my other band. And so they were the most stressful, terrifying, fucking unbelievable things that I've ever done. And I then have a week to get my teeth into this James thing. So sound check, I'm there with Tim Booth, and I goes to him, look, you know, sit down, the tune. I've watched it on YouTube. Sometimes you start with the piano on its own. Sometimes everybody comes in together. Sometimes it starts with just the drums, like doing an intro. How are you going to do it tonight? And Tim Booth looks up at the fucking sky, checks the weather, and then looks at me and goes, it's difficult to tell, man. And I was like, just fucking make your mind up. So like we go back to the dressing room at like, you know, it's 11 a.m. and they're trying to argue out a set list. But Tim's like, oh, I need to go and lie down. I'm so tired. So they're all like, oh, fuck's sake. So I'm just there all day, you know, like, and, you know, I'm not on for like another 10 hours. And I'm just the whole day just going, what have you done? What have you signed up for? This is what your worst nightmares are made of. Like, you don't... how many times have you had a nightmare?
That's literally that walking on stage with rubber drumsticks.
You're on stage and you don't know the songs. Yeah. That's a fucking nightmare.
I've had a reoccurring dream that we go on stage and that, like, biggest gig ever, headlining Glastonbury, something like that, and we all decide at the last minute we're going to swap instruments. So, yeah. I'll go drums. Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Or you'd walk on your gears just not set up.
It's a bit like when we supported the first ever big gig for us, supporting Maximo Park, and about 5 minutes before we went on stage, it's like, right, we're going to play Love Bone, which is in like fucking 11-8 or something. It's like, fuck's sake. Yeah.
Good on you.
Well, I'd get extremely drunk if I was...
No, I didn't have anything. Because, right, so the changeover is happening, adrenaline is pumping, and whoever's doing the DJing at this point over the PA is playing selections of the greatest riffs known to man. So fucking No One Knows by Queens of Stone Age. And like the audience is going absolutely fucking
absolutely
rad. And they do Seven Nation Army. Places going fucking bananas. But the opening song on the set list is something, I can't remember, like Johnny Yen or something, which is like from fucking 1986. So they shit themselves and decide, we're going to open with Tomorrow, which is a really big fucking brassy tart of a song. And they were like, you've learned it, haven't you? I was like, well, no, I decided that I weren't going to learn it because Yoni sent it a couple of days ago. And I was like, nah, too late. I didn't say this. That's a 12-inch mix. That's, I said, no, I've not learned that one. And they said, oh, well, it's easy, Mike, because it's just C, G, A minor, F. It's just that round and round. I was like, okay, I guess the iPod out. I was like, there's a guitar solo. And they went, yeah, it's fine. I was like, okay. Learned this solo. It's only like a triad thing. I was like, look, When I don't know where this fucking solo comes. Can one of you give me a nod when this solo is going to happen? And it was like, I was like, can somebody just give me a nod when the solo comes? And Tim Booth goes, well, I can't, Mike, because I'll be performing. And I was like, right, cool, well, I'll just do it fucking whenever it feels right. And everybody's there, my mum's there, my brother's there, and I'm like, they're watching me on stage, I'm going, fucking, this is a nightmare. What am I doing? Place like going, fucking night. So we go on, we fucking go into this tune, and it feels amazing. It's like fucking, like, oh, really, really enjoying it. Getting right into it, jumping about. Tim Booth dances like a fucking lunatic, and you know, we're getting right in about each other. And then I'm just rocking out, and I just look up at one point, and every single member of the band is going, no! No! But it was amazing because before the gig, they told me, like, look, you know, you can't go wrong, Mike. You know, it's a jam band. These are the chords. You know, if you know the chords, then just if Tim's still dancing, then you just keep doing that. Forward. Just keep jamming. And I was like, this is fucking great. It was like being in Cannes or something. He's like, just keep fucking doing your thing. And I managed to do, we did this tune, Out to Get You, Out to Get Me, Out to Get You. I'm thinking of Guns N' Roses there. Out to Get Me, Out to Get You, which has got, I managed to, like, it's just a big spacey jam, and I put a load of fucking really cool, if I do say so myself, a load of weird delay on it and all that. I was like, I really felt like I put my stamp on it. And I really enjoyed it. And they asked me to do some more stuff after that, but I couldn't do it because of Biffy, but life's a compromise, you know?
Yeah. A good way to finish it off. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks to Andy.
Cheers.
Thank you to Robin. Thank you to Duncan.
Nice one.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Very,
an honour.
Great stuff, Mike.
Thanks. Pleasure. Very kindly.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Great fun.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me.